says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Is prayer a burden to us? Is it something that we do not do, something that we need to work on, improve on, or is it a blessing in our life? We look forward to talking to God. We talk to him on a regular basis. It's easy for us to talk to him. And really, when you think about prayer, it's really about our relationship with God. A lot of people come to church, go home, they pick up their Bibles, but they don't really have a relationship with Almighty God. And we have that relationship through our conversation with God Almighty. We talk to him just like I talk to my wife or talk to you. You and I, we talk to God this way. And so some people, they treat prayer like a spare tire. Have you ever looked for a spare tire and couldn't find it? These new vehicles, I mean, they give you little donuts. And if you buy a new vehicle, you better purchase a spare tire. You won't have one. And so, but many times we treat it like AAA. We only call on God when it's an emergency. And then we really call on God. And when we don't need God, we don't call on him. And many times prayer is treated this way. Someone said this, when we work. But when we pray, God works. You know, I've climbed underneath my vehicle before to change the oil and filter. That's pretty easy, isn't it? I didn't ask God to help me. Done it 100 times before. So I just get on out there. It's going to take me 10 or 15 minutes. I'll have this done. And I'm out there for hours. I done wrung the oil plug bolt off. Now I got real problems. And I just land underneath the car just really frustrated. My whole Saturday's gone. Over something that should take a few minutes. And I just said to myself, you know, I'm laying underneath this car. I didn't even ask God to help me change the oil. We just do it in our own flesh sometimes, our own strength. When we work, we work. But when we pray, God works. Have you ever worked on something, can't seem to get it done? Just take a few moments, whisper a prayer, God, please help me. Next thing you know, you got it done. I've done that a number of times. Then I have to apologize for not asking God to start with. And so we want to pray. Hudson Taylor said this. Hudson Taylor, famous missionary, said we are to go forward in life on our knees. And he meant that through prayer. So prayer is a conversation. It's a conversation between us and God, but it's also a conversation between God and us. Prayer is a dialogue. Many people don't think of it that way. So I want us to begin to think about how we communicate with God. God communicates through His Word to us, but God also communicates through conversation and through our prayers. Many times people think that prayer is just one way, but prayer is two-way. And we're going to see that as we look into the Scriptures. Hopefully you have found James chapter 5 and verse 17. Let's stand for the reading of God's Holy Word. The Bible's James chapter 5, verse 17, talking about Elijah praying and it raining. The Bible says this, James chapter 5, verse 17. It says, Elias, we know as Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. What does that mean? He's just like us. The Bible says, and he prayed how? Earnestly. When's the last time we prayed earnestly? The Bible says that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, verse 18, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for our time together tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to pray to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, and whose life was resurrected, and we celebrated that just a few days ago. We thank you that you are risen indeed at the right hand of God. We can come right through your Son, the mediator between us and you. And we thank you for the privilege of prayer. But it seems that when I talk to many believers, Lord, this is an area of struggle in their life. It's an area of weakness. God, I would pray that even here tonight, that you would strike us in our heart about our relationship with you through prayer. That you would encourage us to pray. I pray that all the people in this room would become what we call prayer warriors. That we'd have conversation with you morning, noon, and night. We wake up in the middle of the night, we'd pray then too. That we would be people of prayer. God, that we could see some mighty things and some small things that you do through our prayers. God, I know that you want to turn this place upside down. God, I pray that there'd be a great revival in this valley. Pray for this town. I pray for this church, God, that you would use this church in a powerful way. Maybe they look at themselves and see themselves just as a small group. But God, you've done most of your great things through small groups. And God, I pray that it's through prayer that great work is done. Along with their work and their prayers, you can use them mightily. And so help us tonight as we look at some things in the Bible regarding prayer. And God, just really stir in our hearts. Give us a passion in our heart and an appetite in our heart to grow in our prayer life. We pray it in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. You may be seated. Prayer is a dialogue. Now, I want you to think about it. God loves it when we pray. And almost everything comes through prayer. Now, if you're going to get saved, you're going to trust Christ as your Savior, how's that going to take place? Well, you're going to call on the name of the Lord. You're going to pray. You get yourself in trouble. You get yourself in sin. You want to get right. Want to get the guilty conscience gone. What are you going to have to do? You're going to have to pray. Say, God, forgive me. I'm confessing my sin. I'm repenting of my sin. I'm getting right with you. And so almost everything they do, it comes through prayer. Now, I want to remind you that Jesus prayed again and again and again. And probably over the last few days, you remember the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible says he went a little further. And he fell on his face and prayed. And he said this, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." On the cross, he's hanging there on the cross. Jesus prayed. What did he say? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Bible says that he prayed on the cross again, said, "Father, into thy hands commend my spirit. I commend my spirit." Jesus prayed the night before. He prayed on the cross. Jesus prayed. Jonah was in real trouble. Would you think it'd be real trouble to be in the ocean, to be in the Mediterranean Sea, to be in a fish belly? You think that'd be a little bit of trouble? Now, we've been in some hard places, but I've never been in that place before. But I'd have to be thinking if I was still living, it'd be a miracle just to be thinking I'm still breathing, I'm still here. And so he prayed now. He prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. And the Bible says this in Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, "And God heard him." God heard him. David, young David, was chased after. Somebody wanted his life. The Bible says, David said, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears." You ever been there? In a tight spot? Fears? Don't know what's going to happen? And you seek God, and the sun shines the next day. You ever been there? Hannah, she prayed for a child. Thinking about that couple. You imagine going 10 years? I've known a lot of couples. They want to have babies. Seems like everybody else can have a baby. They can't have one. I know of another couple in North Carolina. They're a pastor and a pastor's wife. And they want a baby. You'd remember them in prayer. But Hannah, she was there and she was praying. And Eli thought she was... She was drunk because her lips were moving, but no words were coming out. And she was praying with tears. And then God answered her prayer, and she came back and she gave great, she prayed praise unto God. And Hannah's praise song. And so she prayed that way as well. You remember Abraham, he had a son, and he wanted a wife for his son. And so he sent a servant back to the homeland. Now listen, I don't want none of these girls over here. I want you to go get one of those girls back in the homeland. And so he sent his servant across. And the servant came in close to town. And upon arriving, the Bible says that the servant prayed. The Bible says before he'd finished praying. Now, I like praying like this. Before you finish praying, behold, the Bible says, Rebecca. Now that's pretty good. When's the last time you prayed and before you said amen, it was already answered? Our God can do those types of things. Now, sometimes we have to wait. It's not the right time. It's not God's timing. But sometimes God can answer right away. And He can do that. Some of you, maybe you want to get married. I don't know who in this room would want to get married, but it might be somebody. Have you ever thought about not going on farmersonly.com? You guys have these kind of commercials out here? They're everywhere. I think we ought to go to God. Why don't we pray to God? I ask Christians all along, I want to get married. What are you doing about it? Well, I'm on this website. I'm on that website. I'm doing this. I said, well, have you ever thought about praying? It's like, no, I hadn't thought about that. But don't you think God knows where she or he's at? Why don't you pray? Ask God. That's how I found my wife, by the way. I prayed her in. I think we need to pray. Elijah raised a dead child through prayer in 1 Kings 17, 17. Daniel prayed for God to reveal to him the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. You remember what was going to happen? Nebuchadnezzar got angry. He had these dreams, had these visions. He said, now look, I want you guys to interpret this for me. I'm not going to tell you what it was, so you got to tell me what it was and give me the interpretation. They said, oh, we've never done anything like that. Well, he said, well, you're done and you're finished and you're dead. You're going to have to do it or it's over for you. Well, Daniel asked his three friends. You remember his three friends? And they went before God. God, please give us the dream. Give us the vision. Give us the interpretation of it. And God answered the prayer. You go a little further in the book of Daniel. Daniel believed in prayer in Daniel chapter 6. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, there was a law that was put out in the land, a law that you couldn't petition anyone else but the king. Daniel knew that it was signed, the writing was signed. Daniel went to his house, the windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. The Bible says he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime, as he did previously, like he always had. He went and prayed three times a day on his knees to God. The Bible says in verse 11, then these men assembled and found Daniel, this is what the Bible says now, and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Mary in the New Testament. Mary prayed and adored God for choosing her to be the mother of the Christ child. That's in Luke chapter 1, 46 through 55. God heard the prayer of Jabez in the Old Testament and granted his request in 1 Chronicles 4:10. Jesus prayed over the food in Mark 6, and when he had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the two fishes divided he among them all. Hezekiah prayed when he was surrounded. He was surrounded, Jerusalem was surrounded, and God killed 185,000 Assyrians in 1 Kings 19:35. That means sometimes you don't have to have nuclear warheads. All you need is to pray to God, and God will take care of the enemy sometimes. Now look, if you will, in Acts chapter 12. In Acts chapter 12, turn your Bibles there. In Acts chapter 12, the church prayed for their leader in prison. His name was Peter, right? And God opened the prison doors. But let me read to you the praying here. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. The Bible says in Acts 12, verse 5, that Peter, notice where he's at. He's in what? Prison. But notice what the church people are doing. Prayer was made. You see that there? Prayer was made without ceasing by the church unto God for him. Now just look at that one verse. Prayer was made by the church. What we're doing here tonight, it's prayer night. But you know, we can come together anytime and pray. We can pray on Sundays, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays. We can gather and pray. Sometimes as a church, we need to gather and pray. Sometimes it's for an individual in our church. Sometimes it's for our nation. Sometimes it's for something else. But we need to gather and pray. I remember one church that I was at, and the church was in real trouble. They'd gone through three pastors in 3 years, and the little people that they had left, they were fighting amongst themselves too. And I arrived at the church and noticed that the parking lot was full. This was a Sunday night. My first thought was I got the wrong time of the church service. Because I go from church to church to church. Sometimes, they don't all meet at the same times. So I hustled into the church real quick and asked the guy who was sitting at the door. I said, are we late for church? He goes, oh, no. I said, well, what's going on with all these cars here? They called for a prayer meeting. I came and looked through. They had windows, just like you have windows, so you could see through and see into the sanctuary. And you know what the people were doing? They were on their knees praying. And that began the healing process of that church. That church is healthy and strong today and doing very, very well. But it was through prayer that it all began. Through prayer. So prayer was made by the church. Notice secondly in that verse 5, that they prayed without what? Ceasing. So this is the frequency of their prayer. Notice that their prayer was made unto God, not to angels, not to Mary, not to saints, not to Mother Earth, not to anyone else. Their prayer was made unto God. And notice in verse 5, it was a very specific prayer. They prayed for Peter. Now, look at verse 12. Same chapter, Acts 12, verse 12. Notice that many were gathered at the end of that verse 12. Many were gathered together doing what? Praying. Okay, so they were united in prayer. And then the prayers were answered. Look at verse 17. And it created such excitement that when the prayer was answered, here Peter is beckoning unto them with his hand to hold down just a minute. Let me talk. They were so excited that he had a hard time getting their attention to talk to him. So prayer created excitement. Hezekiah is dying, king in the Old Testament. And he asked God for more time. How many people you know have asked God for more time? Some of the most famous people in the world, when they're on their deathbed, they've asked God, God, just give me a little more. I'll give all my money. Just give me a little more time. And Hezekiah prayed in 2 Kings chapter 20, and God sent Isaiah the prophet back. He said, turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father. This is what he said to say to him. I have heard thy prayer. Did you know that when you pray, that God Almighty hears your prayer? Now think about that. He says, you go tell him. I've heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord, verse 6, and I will add unto thee, unto thy days, guess how many years? 15 years. Now it had been good if he'd used his 15 years well, which he didn't. But God answered his prayer. Jesus and prayer in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, the Bible says, and in the morning, this is Jesus, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day. What's that mean? He's up before the sun. Okay, here's Jesus, up before the sun. He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Luke chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. So we notice Jesus praying early in the day. Many people, they pray right before they go to bed. Now, that's good to pray when you go to bed. But if you haven't prayed all day, it's not good. Look, you've already lived your day. Start your day with God. Start your morning. Start your awakening with God. Talk to God. You should have God on your brain before your feet get on the floor in the morning. It's a shame to us to be believers in God, and God is not even in our thoughts until we think about praying for our food. And many times even when we're praying for our food, we're not thinking about who we're praying to because it's just rote praying. I'm just doing this because I know I want to eat. And I'm supposed to do this before I eat, so I do it before I eat. But we're not thinking about our prayers. So we got to think about our prayers. So Jesus prayed early. He prayed in a solitary place. We should learn these things. Get alone with God. Get into a quiet place. Now, can you get in a quiet place with your cell phone on? Your smartphone on? Well, that's kind of difficult. That thing's making all kinds of noises, is it not? Have you ever watched people with noises? You can be talking to them directly. The noise goes off, and where's their attention? Oh, it's immediate, especially young people today. It'd be like you'd have blown a trumpet in their face or something. I mean, you just totally lose their concentration.
That's why I don't think it's really good to have cell phones and use them as your Bible things and stuff like that in church, because all kinds of other stuff is going on. And most of them will admit this. They not only looked at the Bible, but they looked at other stuff too. They were distracted. So you got to get to a solitary place. Get to a place where, you know, as the Bible said, go in the closet. But he's talking about getting to a quiet place. You can focus and concentrate, and we can have real conversation. Have you ever gone and been in a counter, been in a line, somebody's helping you, and the phone rings, and they say for you to wait a moment, and they take the phone call, and there they are, 10, 15 minutes taking on the phone call. Hey, I was here, but the phone call's more important. And he put down the phone, rings again. Oh, excuse me. I said, I think I'm not going to come and stand this line again. I'm going to call in next time. Because you're telling me that phone call is more important. What happens oftentimes is we don't concentrate and talk to the person we're there to talk about. We allow distractions to come in. So we need to pray this way. And then the Bible reminds us, listen, the Bible reminds us of those who failed to pray, those who failed to praise. Joshua, you remember him in the Old Testament? Joshua and his leaders, listen now, and his leaders, they inquired not of the Lord. They didn't ask God. The Bible says that they asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord in Joshua chapter 9, verse 14. They didn't ask God about these people. They were the Gibeonites. You remember them? They were good actors. They won the first Oscar ever given away. You remember they put on old clothes and old shoes and put holes and put moldy bread and acted like they were from some faraway place and they were just right over the hill. But the Bible says they didn't ask God. They just looked at them and believed it and shook hands with them. And the Bible says they didn't inquire of the Lord. Can you imagine the decisions that we have made in our life and we didn't ask God about the decisions? And God would say about us, you didn't inquire of me. In 1 Chronicles, King Saul, listen to what it says about King Saul. Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not. So not only did he sin against God, he broke God's word. And also, listen now, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit. Who was she? She was a witch. To inquire of it. Now here's the verse. 1 Chronicles 10, 14. And inquired not of the Lord. He asked a witch, but he didn't ask God. David, King David. 1 Chronicles 13. The Bible says that David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. That's what the Bible says. He consulted. He went out and he followed Proverbs. In a multitude of counselors, there's what? So he's asking every man, what shall we do? What shall we do? What shall we do? He asked everybody but God. The ark of God, the little box of God. They put it on a new cart, and as it was going up the road, the little box began to shift, looked like it was going to come off. A man reached up and did what? And what happened to him? Yeah. Asked everybody. But he didn't ask God. Now he learned his lesson, because in 1 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 10, the Bible says, and David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto him, go up, for I will deliver them into thine hand. He learned, God, should I go fight or not? God said, go up and they'll be delivered. King Asa, 2 Chronicles. Now this is one that's really applicable to our day and time, especially to Americans. 2 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 12. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceedingly great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Now, did you hear what I just said? He went around to all the doctors, place to place to place. And he talked to them about his problem, but he never talked to God. You know, I've had people call me and tell me what they have. And I've learned to ask them, have you talked to God about this yet? You know, they got to the doctor's office. Doctors told them they have something terrible. And they'll call me up, pastor, you know. And usually one of my first questions is asking, have you talked to God about that yet? And many times the answer is no. I'm the first person that they call. I said, I think we both need to talk to God about this. Let's pray together on the phone, or let's talk to God about this. You ever seen God heal people? I've seen it. I've witnessed it. I've seen some miracle things take place. Not all times, but sometimes. It's an amazing thing. But here's the king. And God said he asked all the doctors, but he didn't ask me. Is that convicting? I think sometimes we wonder why God has not helped or why things are the way that they are. We do not pray. And then when we do pray, we don't wait. We'll pray and give up. The Bible reminds us now, the Bible reminds us of how not to pray. There's a right way to pray and there's a wrong way to pray. There are right ways and there are wrong ways. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Are you there? Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. This is what the Bible says. Matthew 6, verse 5. And when thou prayest, Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, how? Standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they might be what? Seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain what? What does that mean? Don't say the same thing over and over and over and over again. God is great. God is... Oh, you guys know that. Now I lay me down to sleep. Yeah, and you pray that every night. You ever heard this one? I hadn't heard this, but one kid came up and gave it to me after I preached this message. By his hand, we are fed. That's it. So, hey, you know, isn't that amazing? These are American prayers that are rote prayers that we say over and over and over again. I wasn't a Christian, wasn't raised in a Christian home, didn't know anything about Jesus Christ, but I could say that now. I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I mean, we prayed it every night. Well, great-grandma. The Bible says, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their what? Much speaking. Verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you what? Ask him. Jesus said not to be prayed. Don't pray to be seen. Don't pray to be heard by others. Some of us, when we pray, we never think about who we pray into. We're only thinking about those who are hearing our prayers. That's wrong. That's unbiblical. Prayer was never intended to be ritual or rote. Prayer does not necessarily have to be long prayers. They can be really short. And even though God already knows, should we still ask? Yes or no? That's what he taught us. Now in Mark chapter 12, the Bible says this in Mark 12, 38, and he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces. They love the chief seats in the synagogues. They love the uppermost rooms at the feast. They devour widows' houses, and for a pretense, they make long prayers. In their hypocrisy, they make long prayers. I think this is a really good demonstration here of how not to pray. Luke 18, verse 10. You want to turn there? You're welcome to. The Bible says two men went up to the temple to pray. Two men. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. This is Luke now, chapter 18, verse 11. The Pharisee stood. Now notice the word. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. What does that mean? That means that the only person hearing his prayer is the people that are around him, and he's praying to himself. He's not praying to God. And here's how the Pharisee prayed. He stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. I'm not like an extortioner, an unjust, an adulterer, or even as this other guy who's over here praying. I'm not even like him, the publican. Can you imagine? Can you imagine me standing up here praying and saying, God, I thank you that you know that I'm not like him. And then he went on to say all that he did. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. The Bible says in verse 13, and the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, smote upon his breast, and he said a few short words, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. And who said those verses? Who said those verses? Jesus did. One guy came in and prayed thus to himself. And one guy came in with a humble heart and prayed. And who went home justified? There's a right way to pray and a wrong way to pray. God often uses the Bible in communicating with us. We get up and we read it, and I found it amazing that during that day, oftentimes, what I read in the Bible that morning applies to what I needed that day. And it gave me the wisdom to make a decision on something, but I got that clarity in the morning when I was reading the Scripture. I had sometimes no idea how in the world this is going to apply to anything to this day. But when I got into the point of decision, that the Scriptures came in, and I knew what I was supposed to do. So the Bible communicates with us. But I want to say to all of us in this room, those who are listening, the Bible teaches us, the Bible, about the importance of communication with God through prayer. Not only does it speak to us, and we should be in it and hearing it preached, it's very, very important, but God also, in this book, teaches us about how important prayer is. Now here is counsel for us from God. And I have a lot of counsel that God gives us about prayer, but I'm only going to give you one. I'll have to come back next time and give you part two. But here's the counsel. I'm just going to give you the first one. That men ought always to pray and not to what? Faint. That's Luke 18, verse 1. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. By prayer, we're talking about communicating with God. Pray always. Constant praying. Have a conscious mindset of God's existence. The Bible says at midnight, some famous people we know, Paul and Silas, right? What were they doing at midnight? The Bible says they prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them in prison at midnight. They were praying and praising. Pray and do not faint. 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6, praying always. Romans 12:12, continuing diligently in prayer. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer. We're to always pray. Constant communication. Persistent in prayer. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye knock, it shall be opened unto you. Prayer with God is not one way. It's not a one-sided conversation. It's not, I'm coming. Hello, God. I'm checking in. I got my roll call. I'm running down my list. 10-4 and I'm out. That's how many people pray. They run in, tell God what they want. I need this. I need this. I want this. I want this. And I'm out of here. Prayer is not a one-way conversation. Prayer includes, listen now, prayer includes listening to God. Prayer includes hearing from God. Through prayer, we communicate with God, and through prayer, God communicates with us. And you know what we need to do sometimes in our prayer life? And I'll just put it to you a good old American way. This is what we need to do. Shut up. I'll put it to you biblically now. Be still. Be still. It's hard to be still in this world. I wonder who's all about that, keeping us so busy we don't do the most important things. Just be quiet. Be still. And the Bible says, be still. And God speaks in a small, still voice. Not in the strong wind. Remember this? Not in the earthquake. Not in the fire. But in a quiet voice. God can speak into our life and help us, show us, direct us, encourage us. I want to encourage everybody in this room. Let's pray. Let's pray to our God. Let's stand to our feet. Every eye closed, please, no one looking around. Do we pray? Is it one-way praying or two-way? Do we pray with our spouses? Do we pray with our kids? Do we pray over our food? Do we take the time to know who we're praying to? Do we think about who we're praying to when we pray? Is it odd or strange for us to pray? Do we pray with our friends? Do we pray with strangers? Do we pray with people over the phone? Is it the first thing we think about when we hear something that we ought to pray? There's so much that can be done if we pray and if we listen. My prayer is that God has encouraged all of us to pray. God has spoken to your heart. You've committed something to Him. You're welcome to pray to Him right where you're standing. If you want to come and kneel, you're welcome to do that. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, God said, call on Me. You can call on Him from your heart, just like that man called and said, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We're all sinners, all condemned and all guilty. Christ died on that cross for our sins. He was our substitute, paid the price for us with His precious blood, was buried, rose again. We'll call on God and say, oh God, I know that I'm a sinner. God, forgive me. I believe that Jesus died for me. He was buried, rose again for me. He substituted, died in my place. Just cry out to Him, oh God, be merciful to me. You come to Him with a humble heart, broken heart, God will not refuse you. God will hear your prayer. He will save your soul. Your life will be changed. You will be born again. But we have to come to Him in prayer. And maybe we are believers tonight, and we need to come to Him in sincere repentance, confession. God, I have not prayed like I should. God, I'm sorry for my prayer life. I'm sorry for not checking in often. I'm sorry for being distracted from You. I'm sorry for not communicating with You. And it's about our relationship with God. Are we far away or are we close? Do we have a real communication with Him and Him with us? I pray the Lord has spoken to our hearts. This is our time of invitation. I won't take long. Please, let's just take a few moments. Let's be honest before God. Let's use this time of prayer in every person's life. Let's go before Him in prayer, and I'll close our service in just a moment. Let us pray.